why do we always have to wait? Why must the community of color always have to wait until the next time?
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Schenectady City Councilor Marion Porterfield. She was the lone no vote on the city council when it came time to ratify that city's police reform plan under an executive order by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to have each municipality in the state reimagine police policies by April 1st. I spoke with Porterfield about her decision to vote no and the future of policing in Schenectady. Councilor, I was very interested in your comments from the last council meeting when you decided to vote against the police collaborative reform plan for the city. How come you decided to vote no on the final plan?
So the reason I voted no was I had a couple of concerns, particularly around use of force. I will say that there was some really good things that went into the plan, but the essence of the plan really was, in my mind, reading Executive Order 203, use of force was a very, very important part of it. So I do not feel like the plan went far enough in terms of use of force and what's prohibited and how things are defined. And, I just always want to say, because there are those who have implied that my position is an indictment against the police, and that's not what's going on at all. I'm simply saying that we all know that there's been a history of disconnect between communities of color and the police. And as a resident and an elected person representing the city of Schenectady, I would like to see that improved. And when we had an opportunity to do that and we did not include what could have been very helpful in the opportunity, that's why I could not support it. And, other colleagues have said or has been said, well, you know, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. We can do it later. And my response to that is, why do we always have to wait? Why must communities of color always have to wait until the next time?
What would you like to see change in terms of the city's use of force policy specifically?
Well, specifically, there was a knee to the head policy that was removed last year and then returned with the additional wording when no other, when it's basically the last option that you have. So I wanted it removed entirely, because you cannot put your knee on someone's neck. That's absolute. However, for the safety of the officers even, so if an officer feels like they need to use the knee to the head, but because in the struggle it becomes on that person's neck, well, that causes a problem. And so I just think controlling person by the use of using their head and by pressing your full body weight on it is not something that should be acceptable or part of our policy. Again, it was removed and then put back.
What did you think of the police collaborative process as a whole? I know you ultimately voted against it on the city council, but do you feel that some progress was made? Do you think the city has moved forward in the way that the executive order intended it to? What's your take on that?
Well, I think that there were some good things that did happen. I think that the letter of 203 was addressed. However, I don't think that the spirit of it was addressed, and we could have done more when it came to those particular things and the language that we use and the training that we provide and the community collaboration that could be put in place. So, we are going to be having some community conversations. That is part of it. There's a group that was formed to help interview the new recruits, which is important. It was put in place even before the policy was filed. So those things are good. However, I'm hearing from the community that they want larger conversations and more input, because there was a limit to how many people could be on the steering committee and how many people could give their input at that level.
What's your opinion of how the Schenectady Police is doing these days? Separate and apart from this particular collaborative to look at the future of policing, are you satisfied with the police force in the city and how it's carrying out its mission?
I would say they're doing the best they can with what they have. However, I really think there needs to be really more connection to marginalized communities. And some of the things that need to be addressed, specifically mental health issues, are things that we really have to do a better job, because unfortunately we have entire housing developments where like 75% of the people that live there have some kind of mental health issue. And I, as a matter of fact, I spent some time this week talking to someone who actually runs one of those places. So in that way, I think we have to do a better job. And I'm not saying the police need to do that job themselves, but perhaps to have the need to have the resources so when a call like that comes in, it's handled appropriately. And there's actually not a fear of calling the police because you're not sure what the outcome's going to be.
In your comments, when you explained why you would vote against the final collaborative plan, you talked about your own background as an African-American woman, the only one on the city council. What's been your experience in the city, and do you think it gives you a unique perspective on policing on the council?
I think it gives me a unique perspective in terms of government as I'm being on the council. And, yes, because, of course, being an elected person, you're more recognized, so people know who you are. So I do have a different level of interaction for those officers that know me. And I hope and try to work on trying to do some things to maybe increase the minority representation, if not a way for the people to interact with minoritized communities. So my experience in the city just as an individual prior to being on the council as an African-American person in the city, I certainly see that the city, there's some level of structural racism that goes on in terms of our leadership, in terms of representation within our leadership is what I should say.
What do you mean by that?
I'm the only African-American woman that's ever been on the council, and we've had multiple openings for where people of color have come forward to put their name in, but have not been chosen. So those opportunities have been presented and passed over.
In terms of the post-collaborative police process here in the city of Schenectady, you know, a lot of people have been looking at the deadline of April 1st as kind of the end of this process. But what would you like to see in terms of the future of police oversight in Schenectady now that we're about to move past this deadline for the collaborative's final report?
Well, let me say it's said continually by the mayor, by the chief of police, by other council members, that this is just the beginning. It's not the end because of the April 1st. So there is there's spoken intention that this will go beyond that. So it's also actually written into the legislation that there will be community conversation in there. So it's something that's already been committed to. And so I'm believing that we'll move forward with that. And for me, it would be really to do to make sure that the community gets the information and responds and is present in making sure that their voice is heard.
Schenectady City Councilor Marion Porterfield, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.